Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 242. This is the show where we talk about Android applications. Got four guys on the show today. We're going to bring a bunch of apps. And, you know, maybe you guys have never heard of these apps that we're about to bring, and you can install them on your phones, and then you might like it. You never know. You have to try. Let me introduce the co-host, and we'll get right into the app action, starting with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Door?
Bonjour, Steve. How you doing?
This is like, I don't know, international year at Android App Addicts with Door. He's going to pick a different country at the beginning of every show. I'm doing good, sir. How are you? How about yourself?
School is getting ready to start, so I've been marching around the house all week singing, "School's back from summer." And my kids are like, "Shut up! Shut up!" So
that's,
I'm like,
torture.
Literally. Well, I know, but see, here's the logic, Steve. There's the yin and the yang. If I make the last week of summer horrible when they go back to school, then it's like a vacation.
I wonder if they share your philosophy about that.
No, I'm sure they don't.
Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
Hello, sirs. School's already in session. One of them started 2 days ago and the other one a week ago. So driving around, picking them up, dropping them off, that kind of stuff.
Tell them to take the bus, Eric. That's what I did.
They don't have a bus for band students. They start early.
What are they playing? What instruments?
Oboe and saxophone. And now also choir and
I can't,
golf.
Look, I can't believe in 2014 they still teach those instruments. That's like medieval. They got to learn how to use DJ equipment and play MIDI keyboards and synthesizers and that cool stuff.
Well, my son's school sold off all the MIDI keyboards at the last bake sale. I don't know if they got new ones. I know they had like seven of them they sold that day. Yeah. And then they have no string instruments, oddly enough. That's not a thing. I don't know. It's just all woodwinds, brass, and percussion.
Well, that's orchestra. Band, there's no strings in band.
Oh.
Yeah. See that?
Okay. That explains it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Eric.
Well,
also joining us, Jeff Halish from TechNutPC.com. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you guys doing? Everything good? I'll tell you what, my kids are homeschooled, so I'm with them 365 days a year, 7 days or, forever. So the only thing that's different for us is my wife, gets all the stuff together. So she's about to become real busy, which is not so good for me all the time. So, I get less time with my wife and she gets more time with the kids, but at least I'm around when, they're in school. So that's nice.
So school's like what, in the next room or somewhere?
Yeah, they're down in the dining room or wherever.
Gotcha.
They do field trips and stuff like that. So
interesting. That's pretty cool, man.
Well done, Jeff. Attaboy, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Jeff, why don't you start us off this week with an app?
All right. My first app is, and I can't believe this was never mentioned, this is a very, very old app, and I've used it even a couple phones back, but the name of the app is, and let me get this, see if I get the right one here. It is called Group Ringtones. Let me put it up in chat there. And what this app does, it's a very, very basic and simple app, and it hasn't changed that much over the years. But what, in matter of fact, the last time it was updated, it looks like May 31st, 2013. What it does, I don't know if anybody else does this with their phones, but I have groups of people, like family members are in one group, friends are in another group, whatever, church might be in another group or whatever. So I assign a different ringtone to each group so that I can know if I want to answer the phone or not. And instead of doing it individually, I can grab that whole group and give that whole group one single ringtone. So I'm not having to go through 300 contacts trying to figure out who's supposed to have what ringtone. So
how do you put the people in the group? Is that your contacts already have the groups made, or this app requires you to place people in groups?
Well, they can actually be placed in groups through Google.
Okay.
Google has their, yeah. So once you set it up, whether you set it up in your contacts, you can have groups in your contacts, and you can just basically drag and drop people into the contact or into the groups from the contacts. Once you have it set up, anytime you change phones or whatever, and you sign in your Google account, everything's right there. All your contacts, all your groups. I've had the same contacts and groups for probably the last 3 or 4 years.
I see. And well, that makes it easier if Google's doing the group sorting. If you had to do them all separately for this app, that would suck.
Oh, no. Yeah. Once it's just like the contacts. Once you set it up, you're good to go. But I like it because it's just easy to, if I want to change a ringtone for a certain group, I can go in there, hit the group, hit the ringtone, and boom, you know, whatever, 30, 40 people are updated. That is that quick. So.
Gotcha. Very cool, man. It's a good
one of my go-to apps.
Yeah. It sounds pretty essential. I would like to say that the album art scares me because it's just not scaled properly for the Google Play Store. It's all pixelated. And I thought they would put more care into that.
Well, like I said, this is a very, very old app, and it's been around for a long time, and they haven't really done anything with it. It does the same exact things as it did back when I had my HTC Evo. You know, it's the same almost. I mean, I don't see any differences in it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it just like works. Very
old school Android. No, it's good. It's good. What do you guys think?
Some apps, I don't think it matters what the PPI was and is now on your phones. If the app just works, you know, that's so if you ROM or if you get a new phone, this is one of the first things to go back on, Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah. I like having apps like that every now and then on the show because everybody's got their standards and their absolute go-to apps, and this would be a good one.
Yeah,
I'm with you. Eric, what's a PPI?
PPI? Pixels per inch?
Oh, sorry. He totally threw me with that.
there's no technical term that I know that you don't, Dor.
You just found one.
Don't even go.
I guess I didn't expect you to say it. I don't know. But, I mean, over time, I know the Android App Store has steadily increased the size of that thumbnail. Same thing with iTunes and the iTunes App Store. It's been steadily getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it just means that's been updated.
Sweet. That's cool. Good. This name of this app is Group Ringtones, the app developer's Appventive. Please don't unsubscribe from our show. I'm saying the name of the app. All right.
Oh, we doubled our downloads on episode 235?
Oh, I figure since I do so little, at least I could do is remember to do that for everybody's app.
You got a big note on the top of your
No, monitor? I just remembered when Jeff was saying it. I'll forget by next app. All right. Dor, why don't you go next?
Okay. This app I stumbled across... And it comes with a comment. The comment is, I used to live and breathe by the app called MyCast Store in Google Play, which was a just set of Chromecast apps mm-hmm. that were Chromecastable. Well, I figured out in the Chromecast app, I can hit apps and it goes into the Google Play market and sorts it all right there for you. So you really don't need that other app. And then I did a comparison side by side and I noticed the apps didn't match. So I got kind of upset. But this was an app I discovered when I actually went to the Chromecast app and said, okay, now show me all the apps for Chromecast. It's kind of like Five By. That's the rub I'm going to give it. And that's a good comment because with Five By, you select a topic, bam, watch videos basically endlessly. This, though, you can subscribe to channels like BuzzFeed, ESPN, College Humor, TED, you know, all these different channels. You can just watch what it says is trending, so you can go for what's hot. But also, if you don't use the app for a full day, silently in the background, there's a setting to adjust it. But it downloaded videos for me and said, you have 6 new videos downloaded, so they were ready to go without any buffering, any lag, any download. So I thought that was pretty cool. I still think I appreciate the polish of Five By, but I like the fact that I can, in this app specifically, say, show me only videos from College Humor or only videos from TED, and they're like randomized videos. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Are you picking actual channels like this is like CNN's actual YouTube channel, or is it just like an algorithm seeing that everything that has the letter CNN in it and assuming that it's a CNN thing?
I'm believing it's their actual channels because things like, because you see all the appropriate logos and thumbnails and titles from those individual channels. So what I'm guessing is basically they go into services like YouTube and they take that person's channel.
I see.
And then they probably, you know, have some algorithm to determine how many views and how many likes and so much time push that up higher.
And then they illegally download the YouTube video to your phone.
I do it all the time. Yeah.
Well, it's okay if you do, but they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if that's illegal, but it does violate YouTube's terms of service, right?
To download. Yeah, there's no doubt it goes against their policy.
Gotcha.
Door.
Well, look. Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, I was wondering, you know, 5by, and we had the CEO of 5by on a show in the past. They're curated apps or curated videos on those themed channels. Now, do you feel that these are just random videos taken from CNN, or do you think they are curated by a human in some way that you're seeing some of the best stuff from CNN and CNBC, or is it just random?
Well, I don't think it's personally curated. I do think they have basically like a algorithm that decides what to display, because when I did trending, there's no doubt in my mind, I was getting very popular at that time videos like John Oliver, this last week in week news, whatever.
Yeah, I don't like that show.
I didn't say I liked it, Eric. I'm saying that's what happened. And I also was getting a lot of Robin Williams type stuff. So there's no doubt they were using an algorithm to try to find out what was popular. I don't think it's people. I doubt it.
But well, if you just put it on CNN, it wouldn't be just... Okay, I guess I get it. So you could have random or trending. You get your choice.
Yeah, well, even when you did the random, I think they were pulling either the newest or the more popular.
Okay.
Are they curating these videos, though? It's looking like that, you know, one of the comments down here is, you know, the video stream continuously without lag or latency. Wow.
That's Latin for latency.
I guess. So I'm wondering, is this made so that you don't get that, you know, they're basically saying, so you don't sit there and watch the little wheel spinning, you're able to basically click on a video and just have it start playing whatever they've deemed as working right now, basically, is what it looks like.
Yeah, I didn't have any issues with buffering or delayed or black screen. The problem I did have, which was the one thing I didn't like about the app, was you couldn't turn the screen off. 5by, you could turn the screen off. So if you're watching a video on the Chromecast, you turn the screen off, the video stopped. So that kind of made me mad. But once in a while, it would disconnect from the Chromecast. I don't know if that was my phone or if that was my Chromecast or if that was my network, but it did once in a while do that. But I will say, with all these kind of apps, when I say I'm watching video and they disconnect, I don't mean I'm watching it for 2 or 3 minutes and it disconnects. I mean, I'm watching it for like 45 minutes and it disconnects. So it isn't like it happens a lot.
Hmm. Cool. It is cool. Now, what determines what it downloads and what it doesn't download? I thought it was kind of strange when you first brought it up. They're like, hey, look, it just downloaded a bunch of my stuff and took up all my hard drive space. I'm so cynical this episode, I know.
But you can
what determines that?
Honestly, I cannot tell you, but I can tell you 90% of the channels they listed, I went right past. I do not want anything to do with those channels, whether it's New York Times, Bloomberg Business Week, you know, that kind of stuff. Or like TMZ, or I'm not subscribing to that stuff. So most of the channels I just went right past, and I still got at least 8 good channels.
But I mean, what did it download? Like actual download to your phone?
Do you, Steve? Do you just feel like maybe it has an algorithm that determines the amount of storage on your phone, and then doesn't exceed that? Stops right at the edge.
I don't think they go that far. I'm just wondering what makes it decide what to download.
Is it actually downloading or is it actually just streaming?
Well, it said we downloaded videos for you to watch.
That.
And on the interface, it made it look like here's 6 videos waiting for you to watch. And I was at work when it happened, and you know, I took a break, and it looked to me like there was literally zero latency. Hit play, bang, there it was. So I'm thinking it did download them, but I don't know how it determined, because I subscribed to more than, you know, the number of movies the number of videos that it downloaded. So I don't know how it determined it.
But were you able to find them on your phone after you watched them? Or, I mean, what's it doing with the download? So that, okay.
Yeah, right.
I'm a little confused on the whole whether it's streaming or actually downloading the videos, or if it's just giving such a huge buffer like Netflix that it just runs, and so, well, you don't have that latency.
It is possible, but one of the videos was 15 minutes, and afterwards I did run my Drives app, and I did look for media on my internal and external, my internal home drive, and then in my internal SD card, because I don't have a physical SD card, and I couldn't find it.
Okay. So it doesn't really download it then.
Or it instantaneously deleted it when I was done watching that video.
Okay. We got to get to the bottom of that.
I don't know. And I'll say, to me, the name is horrible. Endless TV. I don't even think I said the name. Endless TV, videos, TV, and news. There's no TV on the thing. Now, you could have subscribed to like Fox News or, you know, stuff like that, but it's all internet video. I don't like them saying TV. It's a TV-like experience, but it's not TV.
Yeah, it's becoming TV, basically.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm definitely going to try this one out, but I agree with the name. Anything that says endless TV just turns me off immediately because I really don't like TV.
Well, we all know in this universe, nothing's forever, so it can't be endless. It will end.
Either AOL is forever.
Either the universe will expand to a point where there's not enough energy for anything else to happen, our planet will get engulfed by the sun, radiation, polar caps will reverse, and the magnetic field will reverse, and we'll be, you know, bombarded by magnetic fields. Comet or asteroid will come in and destroy the world, or the U.S. government will kill us all, and this stream will end. It's not endless.
Somebody watches too many movies.
Did Steve say AOL is forever?
He said AOL is forever.
AOL is forever.
AOL never go away.
Endless.
AOL is for. I agree. AOL is forever because I still have customers that will not let me take it off their computers.
I know. As long as we have senior citizens, we have AOL.
We probably will always have those.
I know. All right. Endless TV, videos, TV, and news by the company Endless TV. All right, Eric, what do you got for us today?
I just got to say, great app door. I installed it on both of my devices that I use with my Chromecast. My first app has something that, do you guys remember an app I brought back a long time ago where it was just a three-dimensional cube and people, it was like a group app and people would just tap on it to get down to different levels? That was called Curiosity. This is not that, but it's similar because this is not a crowd, MMO. RPG. It's not a massively online game. This one is just a simple game of matching, just pictures of animals, but it's on a 3D cube, and you go through layers as you tap them. And I'm sorry, this is called Zoistry. Z-O-O. I-S-T-R-Y by the Hong Company, H-O-H-N-G. When I saw Zoistry, I had no clue that it would have been a puzzle matching game. And it's great for kids. They get little animation when you tap them correctly, you match two of them, they blast off the side of the cube. And it probably takes about 15 minutes to get through a cube. It's just easy, simple fun if you want to, you know, have some time to waste.
Looks pretty cool. Looks enjoyable, like a well done game.
It does, but I am mildly freaked out by its icon. It's a very creepy looking ferret, maybe.
What's the Zaboomafoo animal? A ring tailed lemur, maybe, with flowers around its head. I don't know. Might want to do with this app, though, is turn your volume down because the sounds of the animals can get a little overboard after a while. It's just random animal sounds playing the whole time you're tapping.
This must have been Amazon app of the day because it's $1 in the Play Store.
Yes, you're right. You know, a lot of these apps lately I've been bringing are Amazon app of the days.
Gotcha. Nice.
Looks cool, though. Yeah, there are some freaky aspects about it. Trippy.
Yeah, the thing looks like it's looking at you.
Yeah. It's staring into my soul.
So it must have another game because it says from the makers of Cubistry. Was that the other one that you had brought
a while back? No.
Okay.
No, so the one I brought before was it was called
Curiosity. That was a crazy visual app too. I do remember that.
It makes me wonder if anybody ever got to the center or the there was some big mystery with the cube.
Do you remember? It was a gimmick. Like 24 hours after we did the show, they were supposed to like click a button that would enable people to get past this certain level in the cube. And what was in the middle of the cube? And we kept thinking, well, you know, it's some kind of product, the marketing thing. Like you get to the middle and there's LeBron James or, you know, something weird.
Well, I remember playing that game for weeks, trying to get through it, you know, working with everybody in the world to try to get through it. And I finally gave up.
Yes, that's the thing. They shouldn't have made it so. They need to give periodic awards to keep people interested.
Yeah, and it was a lot of work. And then people started getting artistic with that cube because they started knocking off certain areas and spelling words and drawing pictures out of the parts that they tapped, you know, away. I don't know. But that happened about the same time I think Ingress was going crazy. So I focused my attention that way.
Yeah, that probably happened with a lot of people. Cool. This is a decent game. Looks like simple fun, as you said. And the name of the game is Zooistry by the Hong Company. That's H-O-H-N-G. It's $1 in the Google Play Store. 99 cents. All right. So let's see how long that took us to do that. About 27 minutes. Let's end off this show. I think we should end off this show. And because we have tons more content. So we have a bunch more shows this week. So we'll save it for that. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out, listening, watching. Dorit, quick words before we end off.
I love bacon.
Eric?
Dor loves bacon.
Jeff?
I nothing. They astounded me. I love bacon, too, I guess.
I was trying to give an opportunity to at least do a small plug, but yeah, okay. If you guys want to talk about bacon, fine.
Plugging bacon.
We love bacon. Oh.
Brought to you by the pork producers of Ill.
Guys, Jeff is also the host of Podnuts Daily on the Podnuts Network, and he's doing the show Podnuts also on the Podnuts Network. So definitely check that out if you haven't done it. It's computer repair centric. So if you're interested in repairing computers, it's like the most amazing podcast to listen to. So anything else you want to say about that, Jeff?
Nope. Just, yeah. If anybody out there wants to reach me, they can reach me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. That's the easiest way to get in touch with me to come on the show. I'm looking for techs all the time.
Jeff, I got a question for you. I know a lot of computer techs do listen to this show, and you actually had somebody from Nine Night on the show recently.
Two of the co-founders.
Very cool, yeah. Man.
Yeah, but they pronounced it
Ninite.
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, that's good to know. I guess if that trivia question would also work, then if you wanted to pre-qualify a computer repair man.
I have a trivia question for you. Were they ever on Podnuts Daily in the past?
Yes, I believe so.
No, you're wrong.
No, they weren't.
Podnuts.
Oh, yeah, no, they weren't on Podnuts. Yeah, they were on Podnuts.
Trick question. Trick question.
I like it.
Good call, Dor.
Okay, now here's the real question. What's the antivirus that begins with the letter K?
Casper?
Copernicus.
There you go. See, Jeff doesn't know how to computer.
Copernicus that?
Kaperky. No, it's actually Cas...
Kapersky?
Kapersky. It's Kapersky.
Kasperky.
I rate people who say Kapersky in the same category as people that say Lenovo.
Oh my gosh.
Is it? And
Asos?
McAfee? McAfee. No?
I say McAfee, actually. Is that wrong?
No, McAfee? That's what I say. I say McAfee.
I can't wait till they change the name.
McCrappy.
I say McAfee. But that, if I say McAfee, I should also say McDonald's, then, shouldn't I?
Frederick.
True.
Anyway. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. That's it for this episode of Android App Addicts. See you next one.